All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're going all the way to Armenia. We're going to check out their nationwide system for beneficial ownership transparency. Can they really pull it off, or are there some cracks in the foundation? I guess that's what we're here to find out.
Yeah, it's a pretty ambitious undertaking, that's for sure. Armenia's multi-sector register, MSR for short, is designed to shine a light on who really controls companies across all industries. Not just those extractive industries like mining and oil, but we're talking everything here.
Wow, so it's a huge step towards uncovering those hidden networks of power and money, you know, that fuel corruption. But how did they get here? I mean, they didn't just wake up one morning and decide to be radically transparent, right?
Right, not quite. It's been kind of a fascinating journey, actually. So back in 2017, they started with the extractives sector, you know, an area that's kind of ripe for, let's say, creative accounting. Then they steadily expanded the scope and finally required all businesses to declare their beneficial owners in 2023.
Okay, so they've been working on this for a while now. And what about the results? Have they seen much success? I know, according to our source, a policy brief from the Freedom of Information Center of Armenia, they had over 111,000 declarations as of December 2024. But, I mean, quantity doesn't always equal quality, right? What about the actual data? Can we be sure it's accurate?
Yeah, that's where things get a little tricky. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's no real-time verification system in place. So companies submit their information, but it's not immediately checked against other databases. So, you know, theoretically, a shell company designed to hide illicit funds could slip through the cracks.
Wait, what? So they're just relying on companies, to be honest. That seems like a recipe for disaster.
Well, it's not like they're completely naive. The report mentions planned amendments for early 2025. They plan to introduce risk-based verification. So think of it as a more targeted approach. Companies that are flagged as high risk, maybe because they have complex ownership structures or links to shady jurisdictions, would face more scrutiny.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Focus the resources where they're needed most. How do they even identify these high-risk companies in the first place? Is it a manual process? Or are they using, like, AI or something?
Yeah, AI is definitely on the horizon. The report recommends using it for things like, you know, automatically flagging potential shell companies or tracking ownership changes over time. They could even use it to spot individuals with a history of financial shenanigans.
So it's like having a super-powered detective constantly patrolling the MSR looking for anything suspicious. That's got to be a game changer, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just imagine AI algorithms combing through mountains of data. They could cross-reference information with other databases and instantly alert authorities to potential red flags. That level of automated scrutiny would make the system much more robust.
Sure, but AI isn't foolproof, right? What about the potential for bias in the algorithms? And who decides what constitutes high risk in the first place? It seems like there's still a lot of room for human judgment, even with AI in the mix.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Human oversight is essential. And it's not just about the authorities either. The report stresses the importance of civil society, you know, investigative journalists, anti-corruption groups. They need to have full and free access to the data. They're the ones who can really dig deep, connect the dots, and hold companies accountable.
Right, they're the watchdogs, the ones who bark when something smells fishy. But right now, public access to the MSR isn't exactly a walk in the park, is it?
No, you're right, there are some hurdles.
Yeah.
Basic information is free, but more detailed data like visualizations of ownership structures requires a fee. And you need an Armenian IP address to access the system at all, which of course shuts out international watchdogs and researchers.
So much for transparency. Sounds like they're being selective about who gets to see the full picture.
Well, the report argues for removing these fees for civil society groups. They recognize their crucial role in verification. And hopefully the upcoming amendments will address the IP address issue as well.
Yeah, I hope so. It's like they built this amazing car for transparency, but put the brakes on public access. Hopefully these amendments will give it the gas it needs. But there's another challenge we haven't even talked about yet. What happens when someone actually tries to game the system? What are the consequences for lying?
That is a key question. And right now, the answer isn't very reassuring. The penalties for submitting false information haven't been effectively enforced. It's like having a speed limit but never ticketing anyone. People will just ignore it.
So you're saying there's potential for companies to just throw in some fake names and hope no one notices? I mean, that completely undermines the whole purpose of the MSR. So what's the solution then? More aggressive enforcement?
Well, more aggressive, yes, but also smarter. The report suggests better data interoperability between government agencies. Imagine if the central bank, the state register, and the Corruption Prevention Commission were all seamlessly sharing information. you'd be a lot harder to hide illicit activities.
Right, like closing off all those escape routes for dirty money. But even with the best systems in place, wouldn't raising awareness within the private sector be crucial? I mean, if businesses don't understand the benefits of transparency, they're not going to play along.
Oh, absolutely. The report emphasizes the need for, you know, capacity building activities and consultations for businesses. They need to understand why this matters, you know.
Yeah.
Increased trust from investors, a level playing field for competition, reduced risk of getting caught up in shady dealings. It's in their best interest to be transparent.
It's a classic win-win situation. Transparency benefits everyone in the long run, except maybe those trying to hide something. But hey, let's go back to AI for a second. We talked about its potential for verification, but could it play an even bigger role? I mean, what else could they use it for?
Definitely. Think about this. AI could analyze trends in the data, identify emerging risks, and even predict where corruption might pop up next. It's like having a crystal ball that shows you the future of financial crime.
Whoa, that's some next level stuff. But hold on, relying on algorithms to predict criminal activity, doesn't that feel a bit, I don't know, Minority Report-ish? What about human judgment and due process?
Right, those are some important considerations. AI is just a tool, not a judge and jury. It can highlight patterns and red flags, but ultimately it's up to human investigators to assess the evidence and determine whether wrongdoing has occurred. It's about augmentation, not replacement.
Right, like having a super-powered research assistant, not a RoboCop. But AI aside, let's be realistic here. No system is perfect. Even with all these planned improvements, there are bound to be challenges. What should we be watching out for? What questions should we be asking?
One key question is how effectively these new verification procedures will be implemented. Will they have enough resources, trained personnel, the political will to make it work? Another area to watch is how the MSR handles evolving technology. You know, new ways to hide ownership are constantly emerging, so the system needs to adapt.
It's like a constant arms race between transparency and those trying to circumvent it. And what about the role of civil society? We talked about giving them access, but what about making sure they have the skills and resources to effectively analyze the data?
That's crucial. Simply dumping data on them isn't enough. They need training, analytical tools, secure platforms to collaborate and share findings. And we can't forget about the international dimension. Corruption often crosses borders, so connecting the MSR with similar systems in other countries, it's essential.
Imagine a global network of beneficial ownership registers all talking to each other. That would be a real game changer. But for now, Armenia is leading the charge, taking those first steps into uncharted territory.
Yeah, and those steps, even if a little wobbly at times, are worth celebrating. They're showing the world what's possible. Pushing the boundaries of transparency further than ever before, it's pretty impressive, you know, for a country like Armenia to be taking the lead on this.
Yeah, it really is. It kind of makes you wonder, what does this all mean for us, like for me, for you, for our listeners, even if we're not, you know, directly involved in Armenian business or politics?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think Armenia's journey offers some valuable lessons for anyone who's interested in, well, combating corruption and promoting good governance. Really, no matter where you are, it shows just how important it is to not just collect data, but to make sure it's accurate, accessible, and usable. You need to have those strong enforcement mechanisms in place and recognize the vital role of civil society in holding power to account.
It's kind of a reminder that transparency isn't just a one-time fix. It's an ongoing process, this constant push and pull between those trying to shed light and those lurking in the shadows. But this whole push for transparency, it's not just in Armenia, right? I mean, it's got to be part of a larger global trend.
Well, absolutely. We're seeing a growing movement towards beneficial ownership transparency worldwide. It's being fueled by international organizations, investigative journalists, and I think just a growing public demand for accountability. More and more countries are realizing that hidden ownership, it's a root cause of so many problems. We're talking corruption, tax evasion, money laundering, even environmental crimes.
Wow, I didn't realize it was so widespread. So Armenia is kind of a trailblazer then, paving the way for others to follow.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
But what about the practical implications, you know? How does all this transparency actually translate into real-world change?
Well, think about it this way. When you know who really benefits from a company's activities, you can start asking the right questions. For example, is a government contract going to a company that's secretly owned by a politician's family? Are natural resources being exploited for the profit of a few hidden individuals? Transparency shines a light on these conflicts of interest and empowers people to demand accountability and fairness.
Right. It's about leveling the playing field, making sure everyone plays by the rules, and preventing those with hidden agendas from, you know, rigging the system in their favor. It's not just about exposing wrongdoing either. It's also about creating a more stable and attractive investment environment.
Exactly. When investors know they're dealing with legitimate businesses, not shady shell companies, they're much more likely to invest. Transparency reduces risk, fosters trust, and ultimately contributes to economic growth and development. It's a win-win for everyone, well, except for those who are trying to hide their ill-gotten gains.
I like the sound of that. So as we wrap up our deep dive into beneficial ownership transparency in Armenia, what's the key takeaway? What should we be watching for in the coming years?
Well, I think the key is that Armenia's journey isn't over. The planned legislative amendments in 2025, those are a critical step. But their success is going to depend on effective implementation, having enough resources, and continued political will. We should keep an eye on things and see if those data verification procedures actually work, if public access really expands, and see if the system evolves to keep pace with those new technologies and challenges.
Okay, so there's still a lot of work to be done. And beyond Armenia, this global movement towards transparency, you said it's gaining momentum, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So we should all keep an eye out for similar initiatives in our own countries, in our regions. We need to ask questions, demand information, and support those organizations that are working to expose hidden ownership and promote accountability.
You got it. Remember, transparency thrives on participation. The more people who demand it, the harder it becomes for corruption to hide in the shadows.
That's a great point. Well, that's it for a deep dive into beneficial ownership transparency in Armenia. It's been a fascinating journey, complex, evolving, but ultimately a hopeful story. Armenia's pioneering efforts, they're a beacon of light, demonstrating that change is possible and that transparency is within reach. Thanks for joining us. And remember, the fight for a more transparent world, it starts with each one of us.
Yeah, it's inspiring to see a country like Armenia stepping up and setting an example. You know, they're not traditionally seen as a global leader, so it really shows that any nation can make strides towards greater transparency. But what does this all mean for, like, our listeners, you know, even if they're not directly involved in Armenian business or politics?
Well, I think Armenia's journey offers some valuable lessons for anyone interested in combating corruption and promoting good governance, really, no matter where you are. It highlights the importance of, you know, not just collecting data, but making sure it's accurate and accessible, usable. You need strong enforcement and that vital role of civil society in holding power to account. Right. It's a reminder that transparency isn't a one-time fix. It's an ongoing process. It's like this constant push and pull between, you know, those who are trying to shed light and those lurking in the shadows. But this push for transparency, it's not just happening in Armenia, right? This is part of a larger global trend.
Absolutely. We're seeing this growing movement towards beneficial ownership transparency all over the world. It's being fueled by international organizations, investigative journalists, and I think just a growing public demand for accountability. More and more countries are recognizing that hidden ownership is a root cause of corruption, tax evasion, money laundering, even things like environmental crimes.
So Armenia is kind of a trailblazer then, paving the way for others to follow.
I'd say so, yeah.
But what about the practical implications of all this? I mean, how does this transparency actually lead to real-world change?
Well, think of it this way. When you know who really benefits from a company's activities, you can start to ask the right questions. Like, is a government contract going to a company secretly owned by a politician's family? Are natural resources being exploited for the profit of a few hidden individuals? Transparency shines a light on these conflicts of interest. It empowers citizens to demand accountability and fairness.
Right. It's about leveling the playing field, making sure everyone plays by the rules, and preventing those with hidden agendas from rigging the system for their own benefit. And it's not just about exposing wrongdoing, right? It's about creating a more stable and attractive investment environment.
Exactly. When investors know they're dealing with legitimate businesses, not those shadowy shell companies, they're more likely to invest. Transparency reduces risk, it fosters trust, and it ultimately contributes to economic growth and development. So yeah, it's a win-win for everyone, except for those trying to hide their ill-gotten gains.
I like the sound of that. So as we wrap up our deep dive into beneficial ownership transparency in Armenia, what's the one key takeaway? What should we all be watching for in the coming years?
I think the key takeaway here is that Armenia's journey is far from over. Those planned legislative amendments in 2025, those are really critical, but their success will depend on effective implementation. They need adequate resources and, of course, continued political will. We should be watching to see if those data verification procedures actually work If public access truly expands, if the system adapts to keep pace with, you know, new technologies and new challenges.
Right, so there's still work to be done. And beyond Armenia, you said this global movement towards transparency is gaining momentum, right?
Absolutely.
So we should all be keeping an eye out for similar initiatives in our own countries, in our own regions. We need to ask questions, demand information, support organizations working to expose hidden ownership, and promote accountability.
That's right. Remember, transparency thrives on participation. The more people demand it, the harder it becomes for corruption to hide.
That's a great point to end on. Well, that's it for our deep dive into beneficial ownership transparency in Armenia. It's been a fascinating journey, really complex and always evolving, but ultimately a hopeful story. Armenia's efforts are a beacon of light, demonstrating that change is possible and that transparency is within reach. So thanks for joining us on the deep dive. And remember, the fight for a more transparent world starts with each one of us.